Lesson 3, Bible Biology, God's View on the House for the Spirit and Soul. I want to stop for a moment and tell you a little story that I think is true. There was this traveling salesman who got some really great leads and traveled to another state and spent a whole week following these leads. And he had a wonderful, successful sales trip. On the way home, his car broke down. And he was delayed an entire day while he fixed it, and it wiped out the profits from everything he'd done. So he's working hard all week and nothing to bring home to the family. He was really dejected. He was tired. He was out of sorts. His eyes were bloodshot. He'd worried the night before, waiting on the car to be fixed. And heading home late on Saturday night, he gets pulled over. The officer comes up to the car door, looks in, and says, Sir, your eyes are bloodshot. I believe you've been drinking. And the salesman looked at him and said, Officer, your eyes are glazed. Have you been eating donuts? Now, I happen to believe that the officer did just what you did, just laughed heartily. Because I heard the story and am able to tell it. So obviously the salesman was able to tell it. And I want you to know that I am very, very grateful for all those in law enforcement who know that the badge that they wear is a badge of honor, signifying that they are under sacred oath of office. And to those who know that and take it seriously, I have such great respect. And I am so grateful for them. We need more of them, and may God multiply their kind. Would you turn to, this is not the first scripture on the sheet, and I do apologize for forgetting the, and I'm wondering why it'll, you know, I pray that the Lord will help me remember things. I'm a bit absent-minded from time to time, as my wife Maggie well knows. But I'd like to turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 22. And I would like to cover this because of what was said and what was prayed for. And John, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for letting the Spirit lead you. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we have the woe to the pastors chapter. And John, in your prayer, you had us heartily pray that God would raise up pastors who would simply stand in the counsel of God and preach His word. And may we do these verses responsively. We're looking at verses 21 and 22. Would you let me, fellow classmates in God's classroom, read verse 21. And I do recommend, as you go through this lesson with me, as my classmates in God's classroom, that you would look at your own scriptures, because here is where you're going to minister. Here is where you will be an evangelist. God will call you. I have seen your faithfulness in attendance here at Fellowship of God's Covenant People. He will tap you because you are faithful. As you found out from lessons 1 and 2, I'm a rather involving speaker. I make you do the work with me. When there's something about a responsive reading. Our forefathers did it in the first century. Why? Because first of all, the Word of God is floating out over the room. That puts power into the room. That welcomes the Holy Spirit. That graces the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. And God, help us if we're meeting without Him. We have prayed for His presence. Let me read verse 21. And classmates, would you respond reading verse number 22? In Jeremiah chapter number 23, I'm reading first verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Do you realize what this verse is saying? A false prophet can start a revival. Do we get that? In this lesson, let's stand in the counsel of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. This is our opening scripture on this lesson. Greetings, kindred. We are on a first name basis here. My name is Walter. The Holy Spirit is our real teacher. If Jesus Christ is our real teacher, what then is my role in His classroom today? You're looking at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15. Let us recite together from 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in unison, verse number 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, the King James English word instructors is translated from the Greek word pedagogos, from which we obtain our English word pedagogue. May I read you the explanation for this Greek word pedagogos? A servant whose office it was to take the children to school. By implication, figuratively, a tutor. Strong's Greek Dictionary. Is my role in the master's classroom today to lead you to the real teacher? How many here attended both biology lessons 1 and 2? Just about everybody. Are there people here who attended at least one? Okay. God, that pretty much covers everybody. Those of you who attended either one or both know that I bring an interesting background. 7 years after graduation from chiropractic college, I chose to re-examine all 4 years of 4,620 hours of anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pathology, lab analysis, diagnosis, and clinical work using the Bible as my roadmap, template, and quote-unquote light unto my path. These lessons are the result of that ongoing choice. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139, verse number 14. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, the Songs of God, chapter number 139. In the first two lessons, we studied two body parts mentioned prominently in the scriptures, the reins and the heart. In lesson one, we discovered the body part that not only looks like a set of reins, but also acts like them. The autonomic nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic. In lesson two, we discovered the body part that looks and functions as the biblical heart of man, the central nervous system, the brain, and spinal cord. We're looking at verse 14 in Psalms, chapter number 139. Let us read together. Out of the book of Psalms, chapter 139, in unison, verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let's go to Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse number 23. If we ask a PhD in human biology to give us a brief layman's summary of how the body is designed and made to express life, Would his piled high and deep be too deep for him to do it? With a disciple's familiarity with the Word of God, shall we take a stab at it? The living body retransmits a life energy sourcing from outside this visible dimension in a cycle of impulses or messages from the center of ourselves out to all parts and back again in a cycle. Quote unquote, knitting together. Or coordinating our physiological functions to engender an ease or harmony within us, as opposed to a dis-ease or disharmony. This is a very disharmonious world. It is a fallen world. And we had some serious prayer before I stepped up here for those of us who are suffering from various stages of chaos. Dis-ease within many of us. And we all share the ultimate disease. We live in fallen bodies. We live in a fallen world. We suffer from a fallen organic brain. We are the weakest living things in creation. And we're going to probe that just a little bit during this lesson. The existence of the area or receptor from inside of us, for what sources from outside this dimension into our living bodies, is actual. Its precise location in the most interior organ of the body is theoretical. Shall we call this area or receptor the center? And this center must at all times enjoy 100% ease. Even the most trivial lack of ease or dis-ease of this center results in instantaneous departure of spirit and soul. The example of that is the physiology of hanging. How do people die when they're hung? If it's done correctly, the knot is placed right behind the mastoid process at one side of the neck or other. And when the person drops through the door, with the full weight tied around his ankles, the snap of the knot into his neck will dislocate the top vertebra called the atlas. It will cause a momentary interruption in the flow of life energy from the center of ourselves out to all parts of the body and back again in the cycle. If it's done correctly, even if they kick around for 20 minutes or so, it's just the body's mechanisms winding down like an unwound clock. Death is instantaneous. Hanging is actually quite merciful if it is done correctly. You know, we can live how many days without food? Maybe 40 days? Depends on our stamina and endurance. How long can we go without water? A total deprivation of water in 3 days, we die. Water is absolute necessity for our body's biochemistry. How long can we live without oxygen or blood flow? Depending on stamina and endurance, 2 to 8 minutes. Are we feeling weak yet? How long can you live without a nerve supply? I just showed you with the physiology of hanging. 0 seconds. A momentary interruption in that transmission of life energy, your spirit and soul depart. Because the vessel can no longer serve as the house. So shall we call this area or receptor within us the center? And this center must at all times enjoy 100% ease. Even the most trivial lack of ease or dis-ease of this center results in instantaneous departure of spirit and soul. Quote, the body without the spirit is dead, James. In Lesson 2, Bible Biology, we discovered the two Hebrew words translated heart. Lab and labob. The seminal or seed meaning of lab is the center of anything. Do we understand what God's telling us? And the seed meaning of labob is the most interior organ of the living body, brain, spinal cord. We're in Proverbs chapter number 4, looking at verse number 23. Classmates, may we read this together in unison out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We got teenagers experimenting with all kinds of drugs to get high. It's shrinking their brains at the very time when they're still developing. Adolescence is the point in life where our brains retool for adult life. We've had our childhood. It's a very difficult time. I didn't feel good again until I was 21. I'm sure some of you have had the same experience. We are consulting the capital A author of biology here. Does God ever use double entendre? As the issues of the expression of Adam's life in this fallen world spring from the most interior organ of our bodies, so if we die in Christ, will the issues of eternal life spring from our glorified hearts? Glory is a reference to the resurrection. Has God ever left himself without witness? Keep. First word in verse 23 is translated from the Hebrew word whose seed meaning is guard. When there is war or suspicion of war, soldiers stand guard. They'll do guard duty. Is the battleground the mind of Adam? With our teenagers, we're seeing how much war the devil is making on our brains, our fallen organic brains. We need a miracle every day. The fighting has never been so fierce. Heart translates the Hebrew word lab in verse 23. The center. In exploration of the meaning of verse 23 to compensate for the lack of the 1611 King James English no longer being spoken in our byways and markets, could we say for verse 23, and I'm not advocating a change, I'm just trying to explore the meaning, quote, guard thy center with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Paul's epistle to the Romans, and I believe at the end he named everyone that was in the church attending at the time. They were a small group like us. With the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can the issues of life become the issues of eternal life? Who is minding the store? Are the issues of life the agencies of the body's government? Can we see government within us? Can we see that being led of the Spirit is self-government? Does that lead to family government? Does that undergird church government? Church, a family of families. Thank you, Debbie. Would that support local government? State government? National government? Is the plan that simple? Let's do verses 19 and 20 in Romans chapter 1 responsibly. Classmates, let me take verse 19 and would you respond please with verse number 20. Verse 19, I read first. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Doesn't that feel good to, in unity, put God's word out into the room? is one of the marks of a Christian, his ability to see the invisible. In understanding things that are made, our bodies, the houses for our spirits and souls, are we understanding the invisible things of him? Are we without excuse? Let's go to Hebrews, chapter number 1. We'll be looking at verses 1, 2, and 3. The first chapter of the general epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament. Is that a testimony? There are two scriptures that witness to the powering of our bodies from outside this dimension, even the invisible dimension. In no other books can we find this kind of writing, this nobility of expression, this beauty of sublime prose. Congregation, would you please take verses 1 and 3, and would you let me respond with verse number 2. We're in Hebrews chapter number 1. You read first verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Meditate on that phrase in verse 3, quote, and upholding all things by the word of his power, unquote. The infinite extent of that power is frightening. Are we in awe yet? Put a mark in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, so you can come back to it quickly. We will return to it again. The day I first heard Pastor Jerry take us to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, quote, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved or brooded upon the face of the waters. We go from heaven and earth in the first verse to the surface of the waters on earth in the second verse. Pastor Jerry looked up from his reading, and I heard him say, the same spirit of power that brooded upon the waters is the same spirit that indwells every Christian. Book of Psalms, chapter number 66, verse number 8 and 9. Psalms, chapter number 66. We have a second witness that our Creator, Defender, Redeemer, Friend, and Oldest Brother powers our physical bodies from outside this dimension, from outside the visible. In Psalms chapter number 66, brothers, would you let me read verse number 8, and would you please respond with verse number 9? We're in Psalms chapter 66. I read first verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Quote, who holdeth our soul in life. The catastrophic, dire, disastrous, extreme pandemic consequences of the fall, which we routinely underrate, renders our existence in this fallen world so precarious that Christ has to uphold us. He has to hold our soul in life. It's that precarious. Anything can take us out. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Adam in his fallen condition is now the weakest creature in all creation. At the time, God cut the covenant with Abraham. Adamkind was the fewest of all creatures on the earth. Go figure. Question, big question for this lesson. Why does the Bible fail to mention the members or the cells of the nerve system? Nerves are the wiring of the body. Does the Bible mention the living body's master communication system, a system of living wires? A quick check in the concordance claiming to be exhaustive finds no entry for nerve or nerves. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. You should find it with your mark. Do we believe the promise in verse 20? Quote, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, unquote. Are we without excuse? What is the implicit promise of this verse? Does this verse promise us that we can clearly see and understand the invisible by understanding the things that are made? Do Christians see the invisible? What is the mission of living nerve tissue? We read, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and Proverbs. So we're on guard duty in this life. And soldiers must accomplish the mission. What is the mission of living nerve tissue? What function is nerve tissue structured to perform? On anatomical charts, the side-by-side depiction of an uncovered man and woman teaches us that structure and function are married. The old song says we can't have one without the other. How'd that go? Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. It's clearly fundamental. You can't have one without the other. Did I remember that right? Close enough. Thank you. Yeah. Close enough is good for grandparents, right? Is the mission of living nerve tissue to time messages from our epiphany to our periphery and back again in the cycle? Is the key to government of physical functions timing? In an effort to explore the function of living nerve tissue, researchers in the 1970s conducted a well-known experiment to answer some of our questions. They surgically exposed the vagus nerve, one of the cranial nerves, the vagus nerve of a rabbit, and measured by instrumentation the impulses traveling through that exposed section of nerve tissue. Are we getting close? We're going in deep, aren't we? Then the scientist narcotized a section of that exposed vagus nerve. That means they injected it, a section of it, with a narcotic. They measured the impulses of nerve conduction before and after the narcotized section of the rabbit's vagus nerve. The experiment failed to show any perceptible difference in the spike of the measured impulse between before and after. The marketers of modern medicine and modern medical practice, they seized on the report of this experiment, gleefully railing against the doctrine of nerve interference as quackery, a key component of chiropractic doctrine. The chiropractic institutions of higher learning cited the same textbooks as physiology they shared with medical colleges. With respect to nerve physiology, the textbooks agreed the character of the nerve impulse as message is not measured by the amplitude, frequency, or related events of instrumental detection. The message of the mental impulse is the timing by which it arrives. The timing by which it arrives. The experimental data on the measurements of the impulses through the narcotized section of the vagus nerve of the rabbit failed to include comparative data on the timing of the messages. At the very least, medical claims that nerve interference is quackery were double-minded. Is the mission of living nerve tissue to time messages out to all parts of the body and back again in a cycle? Is the key to the government of physical functions timing? How then is nerve tissue structured to time messages? How then is nerve tissue structured to time messages from the center of ourselves out to all parts of the body and back again in a cycle? Thank you. I'll need these back if you got $5 to cover expenses. I can go make another one. A review of the discoveries in physiology shows that every cell of every tissue type in our bodies is capable of benefiting from and transmitting impulses. To simplify, nerve cells are specialized conductors of nerve transmissions. Skin cells live on average to be 3 days old. They die and fall off. They fall off our bodies, in our clothes, our bed sheets, and our bathtubs. That ring around the bathtub is not just dirt and soap. It's also dead skin cells. In my family, I had the elbow grease to clean it off. That taught me everybody in my family is flaky. Life happens fast for skin cells, and their life and death is more visible than what happens under the skin. They are perfect for study to consider how cells benefit from and transmit mental impulses. All skin cells get pushed to the surface by the younger set bursting in from below. At the surface, they are a minimum of one layer too far from their nerve supply. They die. That is by design, furnishing a thin layer of dead cells to interface with a dangerous environment in wolf country for fallen naked Adam. Adam cannot live under the sun without a covering. With respect to eternal destiny, we need a cover for our sins. With respect to our temporary mortal existence, our bodies of sin need a cover. We forget daily how precarious is our state in the fallen condition. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21. We're going to be in Genesis chapter number 3. We recall that the great I Am God of Israel disapproved of Adam being clothed with fig leaves. Verse 21 tells us that God taught them their need to switch trees. Switch trees. Providing them with coats of skins to clothe them. Now, the animal being skinned was not still wriggling trying to escape. This is the first blood sacrifice. Make sense? In the previous verse, verse 20, we see Adam understood God's sermon. He honored his wife with the name Eve, meaning the mother of all those eligible to live again, to live eternally. Since we rapidly change skin in an ongoing process of regeneration, we use skin cells as a ready and visible exhibit of all other cells that also regenerate and benefit from and transmit mental impulses. Liver cells are the fastest regenerating tissue inside our bodies. But that process lacks visibility. The birth of skin cells, their growth, adult function, geriatric function, and death pictures for us the life cycle of all cells under the skin. This fivefold life cycle of skin cells pictures for us the life cycles of all the other tissue cells of our living body. The cells of the living nerve system are specialized conductors of life energy in the form of mental impulses. Nerves are the slowest regenerating tissues inside of us because of their complexity. I pray often that in my wife's particular area of her brain, the basal ganglia, that she's undergoing regeneration. While we're alive, we heal. There's always some hope that we can recover. The only thing that cannot be healed is what's left over when we die. Because when we're dead, we can't heal it. Where there's life, there's hope. Yeah. Where there's life in the next hope, in the next world, there's capital H hope. Nerves are the slowest regenerating tissues inside of us because of their complexity. Back to Romans 1:20. I want you to just look at that verse. We've read it twice already. Shall we believe? Shall we by live? Shall we live by the promise that we see the invisible by understanding the things that are made? Our visual aid gives us an opportunity to look at the nerves, quote, that are made, unquote. Look at your visual aid on the side where it says neuron, N-E-U-R-O-N. Look at it closely while I read the definition from Darlin's Illustrated Medical Dictionary, 32nd edition, 2012, page 1267. Neuron, from the Greek, nerve, T-A. T-A is Terminologia Anatomica, a Latin term, which is used around the world for the world consensus on anatomy. Any of the conducting cells of the nervous system. A typical neuron consists of a cell body containing the nucleus and surrounding cytoplasm. Several short radiating processes, dendrites, and one process, the axon. On this picture, it's in red, which terminates in twig-like branches, telodendrons. The axon, together with its covering or sheath, forms the nerve fiber. Some of my instructors taught me to relate the new and intimidating with things familiar and known. In neuroanatomy, at Sherman College, I was without the Bible. In neuroanatomy, 7 years after graduation, I was with the Bible, examining everything I was taught in the light of Scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter number 6, verse number 44. Keep your visual aid close. Luke chapter 6, verse 44. What word comes closest to being under the word neuron? The closest word under the word neuron is what? Anybody, holler it out. Thank you, Randa. Dendrites. See that word close to the word neuron? Dendrites. Dendrites is the diminutive form of a Koine Greek word appearing in Scripture. Dendron. Greek word number 1186. Now, diminutive means smaller version. So these are small trees. Now look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 44. May we read together out of Luke chapter number 6, verse number 44, in unison. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Tree is translated from the Koine Greek word dendron, from which we get our international word for these little tree-like branches at the beginning of the star-shaped nerve cell. Why is the illustration of a tree used to explain neuroanatomy? The word tree is descriptive. It helps us to fix in our minds what we are seeing. The twig-like branches of the body of a star-shaped nerve cell resemble diminutive trees. It helps us remember their structure and hints at their function. Did I say structure and function are married? Does each structure and function speak to the other? Read me the word appearing under dendrites in parentheses. Yes, thank you. A term peculiar to the general science of radio indicates that neurons are structured for performance in the intelligent ability to communicate. The intelligent ability to communicate undergirds the key sign of life, the intelligent ability to adapt. What is the name of the long red tail attached to the star-shaped body of the nerve cell? Say it out loud. Axon. A-X-O-N. Axon. Yes. What words appear in parentheses under axon? The conducting fiber. Issuing from the body and the nerve cell all the way to the terminals. The term conductor is peculiar to the science of electricity and transmission of electrical energy. The term is certainly descriptive, but we run into a serious limitation with the metaphor of electricity. Electrical energy burns and destroys living tissue. The key question in its introduction into our living bodies is how much? It is always risky. Whatever flows through the nerves and all other cells of the body edifies and quickens living tissue. Every cell in the body of man benefits from and transmits these quickening messages. Biologists say what flows through living nerves, quote, is solicitous of the living tissues through which it flows, unquote. Solicitous. An apostle of Jesus Christ does not use the term solicitous. In language unrivaled in beauty and brevity, he is saying for almost 2,000 years that this supply, quote, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, unquote. The tree metaphor to help us remember structure is used again. The end of the red tail, called axon, has axon terminals. Do you see it on your visual aid? Is there anybody that's missing it and not seeing it? Okay, good. We're together. The other commonly used name for axon terminals is telodendrons. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse number 13. Keep your Bibles handy. Keep these visual aids handy. We're working from both of them right now. Telodendrons, sources from two Greek words, telos and dendron. To serious students of the scriptures who have had some study in prophetic end times, the word telos means end, conclusion, goal, purpose, result, termination, and the uttermost. If you're wondering why it has so many different words to explain the word telos, it's because English is the most synonymous language in the history of the world. the unabridged Webster's Dictionary in our libraries. In our library in Richmond, Indiana, has 525,000 entries. If you check your Hebrew concordance, you've got slightly better than 8,000 words in the Hebrew language used in the Bible. If you check your Greek concordance dictionary, you'll find we've got slightly better than 5,000 Greek words used in the Greek portion of our Bibles. So Hebrew and Greek words have to have a number of significations which are revealed in context. It's the context of the scripture that shows you the language. Why is the illustration of a tree used to explain neuroanatomy? The word tree is descriptive. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 13, look at that closely. Telodendron sources from two Greek words, telos and dendron. Telodendrons are end trees. Let us read together out of Matthew chapter 24, in unison, verse number 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Does anybody here want to run out of endurance? The end is translated from the Greek word telos, Greek word number 5056. Back to the visual aid. What word in parentheses is associated with telodendrons? It's right underneath axon terminals. It's in parentheses. What does it say? Transmitters. Transmitters are the instruments of radio wave propagations or broadcasts. Like receivers, with transmitters, we have a term peculiar to the general science of radio and the intelligent ability to communicate. But is it a bridge too far to see the function of trees as communicating? Or will that depend on what we see trees receiving and what we see trees transmitting? The branches of a tree are the supports for a canopy. In the case of deciduous tree, a canopy of leaves. In the case of non-deciduous trees, a canopy of evergreen needles. Both canopies of leaves and needles receive sunlight, photons of solar rays, for photosynthesis. That involves chlorophyll, the green of the plant. What do both canopies of leaves and needles transmit? What do both canopies of leaves and needles receive? Anybody? Thank you. Oxygen is which part? Giving off transmission. Right. Very good. So they're receiving carbon dioxide. Trees take in carbon dioxide and produce oxygen. Too many of the people of this country are public school graduates. I have the unmitigated authority and the gall to say this. I are one. Our ignorance of the function of the canopies of trees led to our complete failure to storm Congress over the Obama policy of reducing CO2 emissions. The policy still threatens to make Obama a successful treeless wastelander. With the liberal media as his guests on an Air Force One coast-to-coast flight, President Obama attempted to communicate privately that they were now in the flyover zone. He said the people living in the flyover zone hold on to their Bibles and guns too hard. This Muslim may still get the ultimate revenge on the huge group of at least nominal Christians living in the middle of the country. God save us from our ignorance. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse 8. What about God's use of trees as a descriptive metaphor? Why on earth did Adam and his wife ever conceive the thought they could hide from the all-knowing, all-seeing God? Hide from God? Are you stomping my tail? Are you jerking my string? How can you hide from God? Well, they tried it. Now, being in the fallen condition partially explains that. I'm in the fallen condition, and Maggie knows I've done some really stupid things. In the fallen condition. It comes with the territory. We're a burden on each other. It takes the miracle of the Holy Spirit to have us love each other and bond in unity. It truly is a miracle. It wars against what goes on earth. I think it's a guerrilla operation of genius. Nobody else can approach the genius of this guerrilla operation, the guerrilla warfare of the Holy Spirit. What about God's use of trees as a descriptive metaphor? Let's read together in unison out of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Not only were they in the fallen condition and willing to try hiding from God, we've all done it. Which one of us is immune, right? Why did they choose amongst the trees of the garden? What's going on there? Hiding from God is the second of three acts that Adam and his wife committed. They cover their nakedness, hiding their sin with the fig leaves. They hid from God, and they blame shifted. They shifted blame unto another for the consequences of their sin. These three acts are the pathognomonic signs of our debased nature, our carnality. Why did Adam and his wife choose the trees of the garden for a hiding place? Why did they feel safer from the betrayed God among the trees? Did men use the illustration or picture of trees to explain neuroanatomy? Were they following God's use of the illustration of trees to picture something in Genesis? Go to Ezekiel, the book of the end time prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 31. The book of the end time prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 31. Look at verse 8. Are the trees of Eden in the garden of God mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures? What does God say the trees picture? We're looking in Ezekiel 31 at verses 8 and 9. Brethren, would you let me read verse 8 and would you respond with verse 9? In Ezekiel chapter number 31, I'm reading first verse number 8. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Put a mark in Ezekiel chapter 31. We are coming precipitously right back to it. We need to go to Isaiah chapter 55 and look at verse 12. It is my express and distinct pleasure to be able to share a secret with you that is not revealed to college science students. It doesn't matter how much tuition you pay, you can't find this. But it's given us for free from the Bible. Everybody has their mark in Ezekiel 31, and we're in Isaiah 55. If I were to say to you that the Word of God says the trees of the field shall clap their hands, would you think I am Fruit Loop? I asked that question once at a Bible study, and they all went, yeah, you're Fruit Loop. And then we showed them the verse. Well, that piqued their interest. They realized there were things they didn't know, and they needed to understand from the Scriptures. Let us read together out of Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 12. For ye shall go out with joy. Read with me. and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In our Bibles, we not only have trees that clap their hands, we have trees that envy in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 9. Go back to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 31, does God identify this tree that is the envy of, quote, all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God, unquote? Where does he identify this tree? Does verse 3 identify this great tree as what? The Assyrian. Yes, thank you. Be not timid when you have the answer in front of you. Holler it out. Does verse 6 tell us, quote, all great nations, unquote, dwelt under his shadow? Is the Assyrian a family of people having a common ancestor? Are all nations families from a common ancestor? If I discover the names of my fathers, am I said to be filling in my family tree? Thank you. Are many of our people profiling their DNA to determine their ancestry, attempting to fill a void that can only be filled by an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? I said many, not all. Are students of God's neuroanatomy identifying the branches of a microscopic nerve cell as trees? Are we imitating what God has done in the oldest literature in Adam? Are we studying, quote, the things that are made, unquote, to understand, quote, unquote, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world? Take one more close look at the red tail of the neuron. One more close look at the red tail of the neuron. Just as the sheep of the flock of the great shepherd are in symbiotic relationship, so are the members or cells inside the body of man. The axon, the longest process of the nerve cell, has company. These cells are named in honor of Theodor Schwann, 1810 to 1882, German anatomist and physiologist. To be an anatomist and physiologist simply means acquiring a special understanding of structure and function. On our visual aid, read what is said in parentheses under Schwann's cells. Yes, they make the myelin. Schwann cells exude a waxy substance called myelin. This is critical to understand the secret I'm about to give you. Look at the term myelin sheath. Read in the parentheses what is written. Insulating fatty layer that speeds transmission. I love the unity you expressed in reading that. How close are we getting to the great mysteries of creation? There is that word, transmission, the intelligent ability to communicate. In order to reveal a mystery kept secret from students at high-dollar tuition science universities, disclosed to us freely from the pages of Scripture, I need for you to flip over your visual aids to the side that reads structure of nerve tissue. Please do not go to sleep on me now. I know how hard it is to learn a new language. I lost count how many afternoons I lifted my forehead from the pages of Scripture or the pages of anatomy and physiology textbooks reviewing this stuff in the light of God's Word, in the light of Scripture. And it was my second go-around. If you already fell asleep on me and are just now stirring, I understand. The speaker that addresses the landed tribes of Israel is addressing people who fall asleep sitting still. That's how we are. I understand that. I feel unequal to the task. Brother Jerry Jr. reminded me not too long ago at fellowship dinner that when the speaker has filled up his listener, anything poured in after that just spills out and over. Seriously. Our cheeks have limited endurance to the pew. If I've had the misfortune of doing that to you, get this CD, Bible Biology Lesson 3, and review it at your leisure. I do not want you to miss out on this secret. Who knows if God will choose you to minister to graduates victimized by their own alma maters. You will know a secret freely they were denied at great expense. On this side of the visual aid, labeled Structure of Nerve Tissue, plate 39. We see some familiar things from the other side. In the upper left-hand corner, we see the body of an individual nerve cell complete with nucleus and what's those little trees up there called? Dendrites, thank you. What were dendrites called on the other side, functionally? What did dendrites do functionally? It was in parentheses, right? What did it say? Receivers is correct. The obvious purpose of this illustration is to picture in more detail the longest process of the nerve cell, the axon. Do you recall what the axon filaments or telodendrons were called functionally? What was in the... Transmitters is correct. Dendrites as receivers up here. And telodendrons as transmitters tell us that the flow of mental impulses is always from dendrites to telodendrons. That's the direction of nerve flow. Afferent nerves, they flow out. Efferent nerves, they flow out. Afferent nerves, they flow back into the center. The term mental impulses, instead of nerve impulses, reminds us that the impulses are agencies of what minds our biological store. Agencies of communication. Agencies of government within our living bodies. Telodendrons are not pictured here. The end of the axon is sliced off to reveal the layers of myelin sheath. We're getting close to the end here. One last thing. Two of the lines between the layers of myelin sheath are named. Two of the lines of the layers of myelin sheath are named. Do you see on plate 39, structure of nerve tissue, there's peripheral nerve fiber written above that? Go up one more line above peripheral. What word? Two words do you see there? And? Yes, the major dense line is one of the intraperiod lines. Those are the spaces between the layers of the myelin sheath. If you've got that, you're going to understand what I'm about to tell you. Notice the major dense line. It is the widest and most expansive space between all the layers of myelin sheath. Who here has never heard of a synapse? I didn't hear of it until I went to school. Thank you. Its other name is synaptic junction. It is the tiny space between the telodendrons of a nerve and the dendrites of the next nerve in intimate relation with each other. The mental impulse causes the telodendrons to secrete biochemicals called neurotransmitters, which wash over the dendrites of the next nerve, giving rise to the same mental impulse conducted within it. At this point, any questions on anything that we've tried to picture for you here? about living nerve tissue. Any questions off the top of your head? If you're anything like me, if you're giving me something unfamiliar with, sometimes I can think of the perfect question to ask 20 or 30 minutes later. So if that happens to you, don't be afraid. Record it and get it out there, because if you can see this, you'll understand the secret. It is time to tell you the secret. You've earned it. You've hung in with me here. Fasten your eyes on the axon structure. There is a timely and orderly flow of protein flowing through the concentric, meaning circular, space between the insulating layers of myelin sheath labeled major dense line. What is protein? Protein is constructed in chains. What are the links called that are part of the protein chain? Anybody know?
Amino acids.
Correct, Randa. Amino acids are the links in every protein chain inside our body, including the chain of protein, amino acid links flowing down in between the layers of myelin sheath in the major dense line, the big space. This protein originates from within the star-shaped nerve cell body. Some theorize it comes from the nissl bodies in the cytoplasm. The specific order or arrangement of the links on the protein chain, the amino acids, constitutes the protein code. When the code in that protein flow changes, and that change reaches the end of the axon, the telodendrons, it causes the telodendrons to switch its connection to another available nerve in the area to establish synaptic junction with it. You ever hear this before? That's why they call it a secret. Somebody has a vested interest in you not hearing this. In short, there are no switches in the body's master communication system called the nerve network. The living wires of the body do the switching. What a dance. This country's foremost distinguished biologist in the latter half of the 20th century, Austrian-born Paul Weiss, leaked this discovery in the 1970s. He was the first head of the biology department of the New Rockefeller University, New York City. He left that position and became the top research scientist in biology. His real love was teaching. He spent the latter years of his life exhorting young students to tackle the thorny questions of biology in esoteric research projects in spite of the losses of cushy funding. Most funds are investor funds, and investors want to see the potential immediate application that could result from the research. Weiss understood the need to fill in gaps in knowledge that might clearly yield no immediate practical application to increase earnings. In his interview, Weiss discussed the ability of the living wires of the body to do their own switching, invisibly writhing and squirming like angleworms and snakes inside us. He said, quote unquote, "Most of us are running on Model T nerves. We don't practice switching connections often enough." Can we see the physiological basis for learning here? There are no switches in the body's master communication system. The living wires switch with each other. The first and obvious difficulty in finding nerves in the sacred pages is the Greek word for nerves did not yet exist. The Latin word nervus, nervus, from which we get our English word nervous, nervous, means sinew, tendon, bowstring. Oxford English Dictionary admits the Latin word nervous is synonymous with the Greek word neuron. Quote, "The modern sense of nerve," unquote, occurred with Galen, top doctor to the court of the emperor Marcus Aurelius around 200 AD. over 100 years following the circulation of copies of the books of the New Testament. The second obvious difficulty is no anatomical Greek names in Scripture are found for the nerve structure. Those names are borrowed from the Greek, the same coin of Greek that we have our New Testament translated from. Instead, we find the Greek names in Scripture for nerve functioning. Where do we find, quote, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth? Where do we find, quote, all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, unquote? Where do we find, quote, all the building fitly framed together, unquote, growing unto, quote, an holy temple in the Lord and build it together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit, unquote? When I stumbled over these scriptures and found nerve function in the Bible, I was astounded. Why was no one talking about these things? This is remarkable testimony that the Bible's 66 books are the best science library we could hope to consult. We have pictured nerve structure in our minds. Most function is invisible. You can see me moving my arm at the elbow. That part's visible. But what all goes into making that function possible is largely invisible. Shall we understand, quote, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world by seeing clearly the things that are made? Imagine if science colleges and universities started springing up, teaching the secrets of the Bible, the science contained within it. Could a spontaneous revival spread among the people of the Abrahamic covenant? Would the people of the books begin to see the relevance of the Bible? The truth that the living wires of the body called nerves have no switches because they do the switching with each other is kept secret. Is the possibility that the Bible might be seen as relevant the reason the truth is kept secret? How much hostility have we been able to see on our TV screens lately? Especially to the Bible. I praise God for exposing that. Our God is a manifesting God. In our next lesson, shall we explore the scriptures that contain the secret for free? Shall we do that? To be continued, God willing, weather permitting. December, God willing, on another occasion. May we pause briefly for a short prayer. May we unite our hearts. Father, we've had a chance to see how frail and feeble we are, and that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you've been able to show us, Father, from your word, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even in the fallen condition. And that we're sheep surviving in wolf country. Everything is arrayed against us. If you invented more directions on the compass, sir, the devil would use those to compass us about. Oh, Father, we perceive our helplessness. Would you please help us? Please help us to understand these things you have for us. Please help us especially, Father. Here's where we feel so inadequate. Please help us to communicate the relevance of our Bibles to those who don't see it. Help us to recognize when we have that opportunity to do so, Father. Help us to recognize, Father, when someone is ready to hear something, Father, weren't we all in that position? Weren't we at one time? For those of us who didn't grow up in it, or who grew up in it and fell away, oh, Father, do we remember what it was like when we didn't understand? Help us to use that, Father. Understand those who need to hear. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name. For, Father, if you turn us as a people, shall we be turned? We see you as a powerful God who wants his family back. Help us return to you. For Jesus' name's sake and in Jesus' name, amen.